Hey, happy Monday to you, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Jaguars today kicking off the week. Right here, Mike Dempsey, John Osier, senior writer from Jaguars.com. Fat Tony here with you. Ozone, how's the trip?
Can we just talk Giants today?
If you want to.
That was a good day.
You want to go back to that?
That was a good day,
wasn't it? Should we talk Browns?
Let's talk Giants and Browns.
It was a good week.
Exclusively, Giants and Browns.
Those were fun times.
Here's the thing for you. I know you do a lot of .com live and all that stuff, but we're here 5 days a week, brother.
Hey.
So where it's a bad day for you, we've got
four more
of these to do.
How about I forward you some of my emails?
All right.
How about that? How about that card?
Who are they pointing the finger at?
Oh, it's me first.
You're to blame.
I'm the brunt of the problem, which I always knew, but it's really coming to light.
You told the guys not to block this week?
Yes. Well, and again, it's the offensive line, it's coaching, it's all the things that are the focus when you're struggling. And that's just how it is.
Well, when you're struggling on that side of the football.
Yeah, right.
Like they are greatly right now.
Yeah. And it's, we'll talk about it more. I don't believe the offensive line was as tragically bad as many of the readers do. And that's where, things are sort of different.
It's a tough position to take, isn't it?
It is. But, I mean, it's not playing well, but it was also not 8 sacks bad yesterday.
Tony and I just looked at a couple of them. Tony's rewatching the game.
I'm halfway through
right
the sacks.
Now. Okay. Well, the first two you showed me.
Yeah.
The first one appeared to be, and you don't know the play call, but you can kind of surmise based on the patterns guys are running and things are doing, where it looked like Belenko blocked Tim Jernigan for, kind of momentarily delayed him, then let him go to loop outside to block for what looked to be a screen that was going to be set up. The problem is Darryl Smith intercepted. Was it Marquise Lee, Tony?
No, it was the running back, whoever it happened to be on that play. I think it was Storm Johnson on that play, but Darryl Smith basically was going to tackle Storm Johnson in the backfield. I mean, he was in between the quarterback and the ball. It's one of those plays where you see Aaron Rodgers or Brady or Manning just spike the ball at the feet of whatever's going on in front of him. And Bortles just didn't compute it fast enough and wound up taking the sack on the play. Now,
and that's sort of what's going on. That's what's going on too much, and it's causing a young struggling line to look a lot worse than it is.
Well, the very next one, Jokel appears to ride Terrell Suggs past the pocket. But instead of stepping up into the pocket, Blake Bortles tries to backpedaling. Well, that's where you're driving Terrell Suggs, and that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to drive him wide. Quarterback's going to step up in the pocket, and you're pushing the rush past him.
Let me guess. I wasn't watching with you, but I bet it didn't look good.
It didn't look good, and Terrell Suggs got a sack on the play, one of the 2.5 that he had yesterday. I'm not excuse. Look, clearly, when the line gives up as many sacks as they've given up all year, it's not just the quarterback who's out of sorts. The line is not playing great. Maybe not even playing well. Individually, you could say a lot of things. I know people don't want to hear that. How can a line that gives up 8 sacks have anyone who's playing well? Well, they can, and really on any given play, all it takes is one breakdown on the line. We obviously know. And sometimes, it's not even a breakdown. Sometimes you got a guy like Terrell Suggs who, I don't know. He's a multi-time Pro Bowler. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
He's been one of the better pass rushers of this generation. He's going to make some plays on occasion as well. But I'm not trying to excuse the line. It's just you watch that game. You wish it were something as simple as, wow, these two guys right here can't block anybody.
I mean, yesterday I thought was the more glaring, obvious example that Blake is a rookie, struggling to see it, needs to get rid of the ball quicker. It was the first thing he mentioned, the first thing that it was one of the first things that Gus mentioned in the post game. You could see it in talking to Lagerman and Biselli when they were looking at the film on the way back on the plane last night. 5 or 6 of the sacks in that range, more on the quarterback in this case than the offensive line. Still the offensive line. Obviously, you would like it to block better so that the rush isn't on as quick. But again, not all of those 8 sacks are squarely a matter of the offensive line turning around and saying, look out.
Right. Now, that being said, it again, over the course of the year, we're talking about nearly 60 sacks.
Right.
And they're not all on the quarterback holding on to the football too long.
No.
In this case, maybe even more than half of them were yesterday. You know, watching the game, it's tough to see just the first time through, I think.
No, it's almost impossible. That's why Tony watches the All-22.
Sure. And Fred, you know, Fred Taylor said after the game, on the post game, he thought maybe two of those were on Blake. But I think that's his I mean, he may be right, he may be wrong.
Sure.
But I think it's more likely that I'm going to go with the guys who are, you know, rewatching as many times as they
can.
And
some of those are hard. And everybody wants to have a check sheet and to say, I'm assigning blame on X on this play. As you guys saw when you're watching the first two, it's hard to know exactly. Sometimes it's half, 60%. I mean, it's hard to absolutely assign blame. Okay, this is on this, this is on this, this is on this. Generally speaking, it was a pretty clear consensus that Blake could have done a better job getting rid of the ball on Sunday against the Ravens.
Right, and but maybe even on that first one, for example, maybe Blanco needs to hold that for a half beat longer. Maybe Storm Johnson needs to do a better job of getting off that block slash tackle and get out into the flat and give a target. Maybe Blake needs to get rid of the ball quicker. Do you think there's a case of, with all the turnovers that were mounting, and you know, about a month ago, that was really the focus, right? 2-1 turnover to touchdown ratio, which is at least the opposite of what you want. That, do you get the sense that maybe Blake, instead of trying to force the ball in some circumstances, I'm not saying he has to force the ball. That's not the only alternative. Maybe it's just throw it out of bounds or you know, in the direction of a receiver, whatever the case may be. But do you think that is playing a role in this, that, boy, taking a sack is better than turning it over and having him run it back for a touchdown?
Perhaps a little. It's so hard to know and say, yes, this is what he's thinking on this play. This is what, because he's probably thinking a million things on every play, because this thing's moving fast, and it looks like it's moving even faster for him. I think some of it is he is very good when he can get outside the pocket and when he can scramble and I use his legs. There may be something to be said for not trying that as often. At the same time, he's got to do it some because that's what he's effective at. So there's a balance. You know, trying to run away from a rush has worked at times. It hasn't worked at other times. Just a better feel for knowing when to do that, knowing when you can spin away from a tackle, knowing when the rush is too quick. Again, it's so much about feel, and he's played 11 or 12 games in this league at this level with this speed. You can see him trying to adjust to it on the fly. And when you're trying to do that with a young offensive line in front of you, these are the results you get.
Obviously,
I don't think any of this is that unusual or that surprising, considering it was pretty much a consensus that he wasn't ready to play yet. But this is what he's going through.
Obviously, we'll talk a lot about the offensive shortcomings today and what can be done over the short term to see if it can be remedied. Now, obviously, they've still got to go out and play football for the next couple weeks and try to put some touchdowns
Thursday night, baby,
on the board.
Prime time.
3 days away. You know, because you didn't have enough offense yesterday.
Hey.
We'll get enough offense in a 4 day period, hopefully, for one full game.
Yes, we will.
Out of this thing. Today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asks to put yourself in Jed Fish's shoes, because he gets a lot of critique and criticism. I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm just, as a fan who says Jed Fish, and I hear it, you hear it, we all hear it. He's unimaginative. He's in over his head. He's not playing to Blake's strengths. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. What would you do with what they have over the next couple of weeks? What would you like to see them do more of, less of, try for the first time, eliminate completely, whatever the case may be? What would you do to get the offense going? Couple of things I'll have you weigh in on. One I hear a lot is just play an up-tempo style. Play more up-tempo. Almost nonstop. Just go fast. That Blake seems to not have to think his way through. And two, roll the pocket more. We'll debate whether or not they've been doing that, whether they should be doing that more. We'll have that conversation coming up here in a minute. If you want to get on board, 641-1010. You can tweet us today at MD_1010XL, at John Osher, OESHER, at 1010XL Fat.
Or OEHSER, whichever.
What did I say?
OEHSER.
Did I spell it wrong?
Yeah. It won't get there if you spell it the wrong way.
Yeah, that way.
Technology's funny.
Do it that way. At 1010XL Warren, at 1010XL Tony with an I as well. I'm kidding. That's a lie. All right. But send us your thoughts on what Jed Fish can do to get this offense going, or share them with us here as well. And at this point, you know, I think there are a lot of fans. I'm hearing it now. The floodgates have opened in terms of looking ahead to the offseason, you know, what this team can do. I'm curious as to what Jag fans think is the best course of action. I think you're always going to have a split. There are always going to be people that say, at this point, lose and solidify your draft position. There are going to be others who say, I just want to win every time I come to the stadium, and that's all I'm looking for on that score. And really, I don't think either one of those is necessarily
a right. It's awesome to be talking about that again.
Well, it is. and fortunately, lucky us, we're the that's franchise, right. We cover the franchise that gets to have that conversation again here in the middle of December. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. That's Ozier with an O-E-H-S-E-R. Ladies and gentlemen, on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Killers, when you were young. Is this a Sam Young reference? Is that what Jed Fish needs to do?
It's not a Sam Young reference.
Okay. This team is killing you.
I was going to say.
That's close, but no.
Sacks are killing this offense.
How'd you do it? I'm impressed.
Dude, that was so little faith in us.
I do. You're right. I've lost a lot of my faith. No, I'm impressed.
Lack of faith. Well deserved.
Anytime anyone can think like me, there's either something going well or something going wrong.
Well, I'm gonna say it took me three tries to think like you, Lauren Brooks, and I think we're both probably happy for that. No, we're probably better for it, actually than if I got it on the first guess there. All right.
Well done.
There's certainly that's a big part of why this offense is getting killed, but. You were pointing out, as we talked on the break, overall speed and acumen of that linebacking core kind of took away the read option.
It appeared so. For, I mean, again, I see Tony kind of watching it. He can probably speak to it a little bit. But the read option was not there as much, didn't try it as much. Doomerville and Suggs, obviously very high-level outside linebackers.
Let me add the 2 points we made prior to the break. Tempo. Being the first one, okay, and then just rolling the pocket, which I think there's been more of a concerted effort.
Yep.
People make it sound like every play you should drop back and just roll to one side or the other, at which point you become predictable. And a lot of times,
if you do that, you've got to have a base to do that out of. It's very hard to do that over and over again and have that be all you do. Sometimes plays are called because you have to. You know, sometimes. Run plays are called because you have to convince the other team that you're going to run.
You're willing to run that play out of that formation.
Right, otherwise they don't buy it and everything's rushed to stop the play you're really going to run. You can't run always the same thing over and over again.
Right, and the reason you're talking about those run plays is because that's usually what the rollouts come off of.
Right.
A play action fake that has to, the defense has to honor to some degree. And if you're thinking, well, I'm not buying that fake, you're making a beeline for the quarterback and those rollouts don't work.
Plus yesterday, you know, they were pretty effective running the ball early. I mean, for what they've done this year, they run blocked pretty well early. They were effective with it early, so had they not tried it in the second half, we'd have been getting a lot of emails saying, why didn't they keep running? They were running the ball. So you've got to try to plays in your playbook.
What about tempo? Just overall going at a faster pace.
I think they try to. And then if it's hard to go up tempo if you're getting sacked. It's hard to go up tempo if the plays aren't working, because if you go up tempo and you're off the field, you're off the field in about 45 seconds.
Right.
And then you're taking away, you're putting the strength of your team, which everybody would say is the defense, at a tremendous burden on them if you go up tempo and fail. They usually, once they get a first down, once they get a little bit of success on first down, their general MO is to lean toward trying to go up tempo. But then when it, you know, when you have a fail play, it's very hard to keep going up tempo off that, because all of a sudden in real time you're off the field in about 3 minutes. Well, then all of a sudden your defense is back on the field, and the one thing that's been giving you a shot to win all of a sudden has a tremendous burden on it. So you got to balance both sides of the ball when you try to do that.
Yeah, even though yesterday they had the onside kick, did that lead to the missed field goal?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
That led to the missed field goal. The fake punt, they eventually punted
on
that, but it's still...
And those are two turnover-type plays that you just think, boy, you got to get points off that.
Right, but at least with particularly with the punt, you flipped the field, mm-hmm. right, and you gave your defense more time to rest. Sure. There was a benefit that was gathered from making those plays, certainly. And, but you've got two extra possessions, which really, again, two extra possessions mm-hmm. in this football game. You managed four field goals out of the whole thing. That was the positive in the first half, was that they had five scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, but for all the criticism, you want to, you can criticize everything because they're 2-12. You criticize coaching. Well, they stole two possessions there. That's pretty good strategic coaching. That's giving your team a chance. Those are all things that, again, you can't praise very much. But if you're looking for effort, for ways to be creative, for ways to think outside the box, right there, they got two right there.
All right, let's go to the phone, 641-1010. I have a feeling I know what's on people's minds, but let's find out to be official here. Let's start with Tim this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing this morning?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, man, Luke Jokel looks like a kid playing against men out there. He looks scared. He don't have it. I think we need to cut ties with him next year and try to find somebody that's got some, for better lack of words, backbone. I've seen a couple of extracurricular activity after plays yesterday where he got shoved around, and instead of shoving back or anything, he just kind of throws his hands up like a little girl. I mean, he doesn't get it. He's just not tough enough.
All right, thanks, Tim. There's a solid one to start the week off, John. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think Luke Jokel's starting at left tackle for this team next year.
I do too. That's one place you could start with.
I mean, I get it.
He's a scared little girl, John, is what he is.
Yeah, probably not going to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know the instance you're talking about, all right? So I guess it would be much better in that case to show what a tough, mean, ornery son of a gun you are by maybe shoving a guy back, maybe shove him in the face, maybe get a penalty flag, right? Because that always just proves to everybody how tough you are.
I mean, could he play with more nastiness? Could that be more of his game? Yeah, and I think that they would like to see a little bit more of that. Shoving after the play. I mean, I get what the caller's saying, and I think they would certainly like to see Luke play within the framework of the play with more nastiness and, with more aggression.
Yeah, could he have a nastier, more aggressive temperament? Okay. That's different than saying he's a scared little girl.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Because he's not fighting guys after plays because we never see 15-yard flags on the guy who shoves second. And then you'd be screaming, why is he shoving the dude back and getting penalties?
Because he's not very smart, Tony.
Come on, guys.
I understand the perception, and he can play with more aggressiveness within the play. So, in that sense, I get that point. And he does need to be better.
There's I'm no at the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter rewatching this game.
Has he been a girl yet?
No.
Okay.
I thought that he did pretty well when he had the opportunities against J.J. Watt last week.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I don't think the problems on the offensive line yesterday were Jokel. I really don't. Bowenko's
beat
on a couple.
What?
Storm Johnson.
Girl.
One of Suggs' sacks was Storm Johnson didn't know what to do when Suggs was running at him, so he just kind of laid down on the ground and Suggs ran around him.
It didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't. Right. And the last one I just saw, basically, Blake did what I thought he should do. He stepped into the pocket. A linebacker that was waiting at the line of scrimmage came late. Nobody was there to pick him up because the running back was already helping Chip on the side. There was nobody there, so Blake stepped right into that one. I don't even know if that's on anybody. That's just the defense made a play. Mm-hmm. They confused you and made a play. I'm not saying that they're playing fantastic in pass protection, but Jokel is not getting killed. I don't get where this perception is coming from.
Well, it's coming because it's sort of become a thing. He has given up sacks this year that you prefer he not to. So it becomes a thing where he's not Tony Boselli. He's a number two pick in the draft, and he's going to be a focal point. And that's just sort of what he's going to have to deal with until he becomes more dominant. And he's not dominant.
No, he's not.
There's no question about that.
No, he's not.
All right, here's one for you. Did you say Tony and Jeff said 5 to 6 sacks were the quarterback's fault? You did. You said they said that.
That as they're looking at it, those were the numbers they were throwing around.
More than half
is probably the best way to put it.
Right, about out of 8 sacks, that's 5 or 6, right? I mean, more than half is at least 5. This person on Twitter.
Again, when we say on the quarterback, it's it's not entirely. It's not, but in. It's not saying the line blocked well on the play.
But the quarterback could have avoided the sack.
Could have avoided the sack.
Something.
And gotten the team into a better situation.
Okay. That's all right. Just the tweet in its entirety. Did you say Tony and Jeff said 5 to 6 sacks were the quarterback's fault? Wow. So John says he's not ready. So why draft him? Should have taken linebacker.
Sure. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. And keep doing that. And I never have a quarterback. So. That's the play.
Yes, that would be the play.
Well, that person could also be a draft Jameis person, too. So
sure.
You don't know. They might have been fine with not taking Blake.
I'm
going
to cozy
Jameis
up with that crowd all offseason.
Right.
Looking forward to that.
Oh, we had the guy yesterday who said this basically never draft a quarterback.
Ever.
Said we shouldn't have drafted offense.
Never draft anyone.
There are only about 4 good quarterbacks in the NFL, and Jack should have just worked on building a dominant defense.
Keep trading all your picks and trading back.
Ignored it. Because then right now you'd have... What exactly? Kerry Taylor, I guess, would be your lead receiver at this point in time.
Darn tootin'.
With bright futures across the board on the offensive side. And as bad as you think the line is now, you wouldn't have Linder. You wouldn't have Belanco because you wouldn't be drafting offense. You'd just be drafting – you wouldn't have Jokel. You'd have Cam Bradfield and who knows who else lining up out there. But that's all right. Let's go to the phones. Graham, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, gents. Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I don't really have a problem with play calling from Jed Fish and the rest of the staff. I realize that you got to play with the people that you've got on your team, and you have to play within their limitations of performance. Get that too. I was forced to listen to the game on television instead of on the radio yesterday, and one of the announcers said that Gus Bradley and his crew had more trick plays and more crazy ideas about stuff than anybody else in the NFL. We only got 2 weeks left in the season. Why don't we see some more of those then? How about that?
Yeah, I don't know if they do have more trick plays than anybody else in the NFL. That sounds like something that they glean from a comment or two in a production meeting, is my guess. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and they use that. I mean, you can't use it all the time. But, you know, the quarterback sneak a week ago was a trick play,
sure.
and it didn't work.
Anytime Denard's going to throw the ball would be considered a trick play. The fake punt is certainly a very well designed.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen the punter throw the shovel pass before.
It was a nice little play.
It was a nice little play.
There's plenty of that. There's also the school of thought of, look, figure out what you do well. And I get the follow-up to that is nothing. But, figure out what your strengths are, what your base plays are, and get those going, and then pepper in the trick plays. You're not going to have a whole game where you're having 7 or 8 or 9, gadget, triple reverse option.
Why not, John? Why not?
Yep. Yeah. Hey, for the draft pick.
I will say this. To me, most of the time, a trick play is a slower developing play.
Mm-hmm.
Can't block the basic stuff right now. Good luck handing it off to Toby, having it run three steps towards the line and pitching it back to Blake and throwing the Hail Mary down the field. I'm sure they'll have plenty of time for that to develop the way they're blocking things right now.
That's a strong point, Mike.
Well, I would say, I'm not trying to throw Graham under the bus. I just, we all like the gadget plays.
Sure.
Everybody likes to see a well-designed and executed trick play. They're fun, but you can't. Can't be the staple of your offense. The trick means you're doing something
right. That
looks like something you normally do. If all you do is trick plays,
it becomes what you normally do. It sometimes needs to be something that you've done well.
Correct.
That the defense has to account
for.
They have
to respect.
And
yes.
Then you're getting somebody moving out of position because they're trying to make up for a weakness. Well, they haven't done enough well to really sell those sorts of things yet.
All right, let's go to John next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
You know, it's frustrating as a fan, as you guys have heard multitude of times here, and I appreciate the fact that Bortles is just getting killed back there. And I don't want to put Jokel down, but it's tough, again, from a long-standing Jaguars fan, to not compare Bortles to other second-round picks. For instance, Luka Jokel. He's a first round pick. He was a high pick, and everyone wants to make the comparison to Bisselli. But at that kind of a level, you know, we hold Bortles to a higher standard because he was a high first round pick. Why is Jokel held to that same accountability? And I know the line is doing the best they can, but they're just getting slaughtered. And it's so frustrating to hear people defend their play and seeing the results. You know, I mean, last year we were supposedly a much less talented team, and here we are with, you know, two wins. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But I'm a long-suffering Jags fan. I love them. I believe in Gus. I believe in Caldwell. But it gets tough to hear the same old thing as you guys mentioned before and before. It's a broken record. You know what I mean?
I do. And I think, look, that's the thing. Jag fans look up and say, why year after year? Why us? Why is it the same thing? Why aren't we getting any better? And that to me is a legitimate frustration. And for them, I don't think they should be that. It's not their problem that the whole team is young. That's the way you chose to go. All I know is you're in year two. You've gone from 4 wins to 2 wins. Yep. The best you could do is equal year one's output right now. If I'm a season ticket holder who all I care about is showing up and having a chance to win on game day and winning some football games, and I don't, next year's draft be damned. I think there are a lot more people in that camp.
Sure.
Than the people who look ahead and have that long term view.
You go to games. You want to have fun. You want to cheer your team to win.
Now that being said, comparing Luke Jokel to Tony Boselli or having that expectation, I don't think people are doing that with Blake. I think they're saying Blake needs to turn into a very good quarterback. You draft him that high. But I don't think they're saying he has to be Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning, because that's the standard Boselli's at among left tackles. He truly is.
Yes.
So to say that any left tackle who gets taken in the top 10 is going to be Tony Boselli, that's a once
here.
In a decade
he
type
ain't gonna
thing.
He ain't going to be Boselli.
No,
that
he's
ain't
not.
Happening.
And neither is anybody else in this upcoming draft or last year's draft.
Neither is anybody else in the league right now.
Right. Exactly. And, I mean, that's the standard. So nobody's saying Blake has to be one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks. You don't. You need to be one of the top 10 to 15 quarterbacks in the league.
He's got to play better than this. He has to grow out of this. It ain't going to happen in the next 2 weeks.
And I can also understand, though, that Luke Jokel right now, albeit just one full season of gameplay in, does not look like he's bound to be one of the top 10 tackles in the National Football League.
Hadn't played like it yet. I mean,
no.
You know, he's got to get, it's the same thing you've heard on him all year. He's got to get stronger. He's got to get better. I think he has to play with a little more meanness. The book is not written on him yet, but clearly he's not in that top half right
now. I don't know if you can learn to play with more meanness. I maybe to some small degree, but I think you are who you are. I really do. I mean, I think Boselli didn't put on a show of being the tough guy and, you know, being willing to fight anybody and all those things. I think that's just who he was.
No, had he not been as talented as he was, he would have scrapped his way into being pretty good.
Right,
he
because
was
that, was his, that was his demeanor. He was going to fight you, and that's the way he's described it. If I'm going up against J.J. Watt,
sure.
I am going to fight this guy. I'm going to have 60 fist fights with him over the course of the 60-minute game, or however many snaps he's coming at me that I'm matched up with him. And, you know, you'd like to have that demeanor in every player,
sure.
I think, for the most part. But that's an incredibly, almost an impossible standard to hold those guys to. I don't expect Blake Bortles to be Peyton Manning. I don't expect Luke Jokel to be Tony Boselli, but I expect them, you know, again, they're young, but I expect them, based on where they're drafted, yes, to be a lot better at some point in the future.
Right.
Jokel's future's got to get here before Bortles does. He's got an extra year, despite the fact that he lost a lot of it. He was in a training camp. He was around, you know, he wasn't a bright-eyed rookie this season.
Right.
And so, you know, he's got to take a major step forward in this play. There's no question. All right, 641-1010. We'll take a timeout. Come back with more of your calls. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Your chance to react to the Jaguars' 12th loss of the season right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. If it would make you feel better, get together all your gold and head down to Wild West, because they will trade guns for gold at Wild West Guns and Gold, Johnny.
Well, again, I want to know.
They'll do that for you.
I still want to know, can you go the other way? I got some guns sitting around. I need some gold, Mike.
I don't know.
Is that
possible? You know what I would do?
Is there a shop next door to them that does that?
I would call 693-0777 right. And talk
to
our friends at Wild West. They can tell you.
Yeah.
North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. They'll meet or beat any gun shop price in the United States of America, guaranteed. And they are our Monday sponsor on Jaguars Today. We appreciate Wild West Guns and Gold. Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Guns for Jax. Guns the number 4, JAX. ZZTop.com if you're in the market and maybe you just got a little surplus gold. ZZ Top, she's just killing me. Like these sacks.
I'll bet the guys from ZZ Top have turned gold into guns before.
You think so?
I think they did.
I bet they have. They still are alive and kicking.
Was there anything better when we were in high school than a good ZZ Top video?
There's a lot better than a good ZZ Top video. But they certainly were fans of the eye candy.
Oh, yeah. It was good stuff.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah, I suppose that's true. I'm trying to think. Courtney Cox was she in the Bruce Springsteen?
She was in the Springsteen Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
He pulled her out of the crowd.
Right. That wasn't staged, right?
No.
this happened to be Courtney Cox.
That's right.
Imagine that. All right. 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board Jaguars today. Look, I don't think we have the answers. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we know, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. I think everybody thinks they would try something differently.
Sure.
Sometimes you don't know what that is though, because when you're struggling so much to do your basic stuff,
right?
How creative can you get?
Well, I thought they tried different stuff. You know, they ran well early. They sort of surprised them by, you know, they ran, they were effective, they got down there, and then, you know, they couldn't close the deal when they got within range. But they did some things early that worked. It just kind of went back to the same thing. Even when they have good drives, right now they don't have either the experienced playmakers or the veteran players aren't making the plays to finish those drives. And as Gus said, you can sort of see the frustration in Gus. One touchdown, just one yesterday,
right,
and it's a different game.
Well, that and the fact
just
that,
one.
I mean, the special teams breakdown on the block punt,
yep,
was just inexcusable. You don't see a block that thorough of a block.
The
guy blocked it with his belly button.
It was a spike and
right.
Anger's tumbling 5 yards. I mean, it was
It was a complete engulfing of Brian Anger. And the Jags, you can't get a clear picture of how much they dominated that first half.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's 12-10.
Very similar story to like Miami. I mean, they were very dominant in the first half.
That game could be 20-3 so easily.
Right.
Convert two. You don't have to convert all five of those opportunities. Convert two of those into touchdowns. Kick two field goals. Miss the field goal. You got 20 points. Don't give up the block punt.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore did nothing offensively. And then I hear, you know, people are saying after the game, once again, can't cover a tight end. They hit like two plays. They hit the play down the seam, and then they hit the touchdown was a busted coverage. I mean, that was bad because he's wide open in the corner of the end zone.
But how many times, if you watch any other game, defenses give up what the Jaguars gave up
yesterday? We say that every week because the Jags can't counter it. And when you give up one or two big plays, it's magnified because they're unable to match it right now. How many times, I mean, cause in a game where you didn't sack Flacco,
mm-hmm,
how many times did he survey the field and ultimately check down to a guy that get tackled well short of the first down? I thought they did a tremendous job.
I'm not
going to
say the
job.
Secondary has been perfect this year, but
I thought they played a very good game yesterday.
And for the most part have been improved. I mean, yes.
But they got some chunk plays. I mean, they got the play down the sideline on the 3rd and 14 or whatever to Cecil. They had the long play to Allen Hurns as well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they have these chunk plays. The difference is, when Baltimore got them, they finished those drives in the end zone.
Right.
When Jacksonville gets them, they get bogged down at some point, and they had opportunities to score. They had a goal-to-go situation from the 9 that they wind up kicking a field goal from the 30.
Right.
Now, whatever caused those two sacks to happen, caused them to happen, the end result is they're trying to field goal from the 30. And by the way, they had a touchdown on a play where Marquise Lee is running 4 yards
Blake
behind a defender, and Blake overthrew him by a yard.
What?
I mean, they were opportunities for that team to score touchdowns yesterday that they flat out didn't take advantage
of. All right, we'll go right back to the phones here momentarily. What was Gus Bradley doing not calling a timeout at the end of the first half? I do not understand that whatsoever. So what? They're saying on TV,
I guess
it was the radio broadcast, it was like a minute 15 or whatever it was left, minute 20.
They wound up with 9 seconds down on the 20-yard line when they could have had 50.
Right. And they let, it was fourth down, and they just let the play clock run down.
Yeah,
okay, the guys on the broadcast were saying, well, if you call a timeout, maybe Baltimore goes for it. So what? Let them go for it. Your defense is playing great. Let them go for it at that point in time. And instead, they hit the play to Hurns, and then they throw incomplete. And then with 9 seconds left, why aren't you taking another shot at the end zone?
I was thinking at the time that And again, for some reason, I'm drawing a blank on the exact scenario, but they were down 9 seconds left. They had just thrown on the previous play,
they,
right?
You're right. They had thrown incomplete.
Right.
And then they ended up with a 45-yard field goal, so they're at, like, the what? What yard line would that put them on? 20-ish?
I'll tell you in a second.
I agree with you. I was wondering at the time why you don't.
27-yard line, something like that. I mean, take a shot to the end zone. You can't get tackled in the field. I guess what they're thinking is if we get sacked,
23.
We lose the opportunity to even get 3 points out of this.
Which, it's not illogical to worry about Blake getting rid of the ball in that situation right now.
Understood. But
he's got to be able to.
If you go back to calling the timeout, call the timeout, let them go for it. Who can? They have enough time anyway.
Right.
If they want to drive for a touchdown, they're already on your half of the field. Time wasn't an issue for their offense, I didn't think. So call the timeout. If they go for it, fine, stop them. Your defense is playing well. I would have expected them to get the stop at that point in time. That, to me, was a complete mismanagement of the clock. And, I mean, unfortunately, you've seen a few of them, but that may have been the most, the worst example of that I think we've seen all year, because time's just running out, and the Jags needed that time and had to settle for the field goal. And yeah, they got the 3 points, and that was great. But you know, you at least give yourself a chance to continue and maybe pick up another first down. Who knows what they could have done there? Let's get Charles up here, 641-1010 on Jaguars today. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Hey, all right. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Okay, I want to make a couple of points. The earlier caller made a point about Luke Jokel being a girl of the league. Well, I want to take that to Mercedes Lewis. He is the biggest girl amongst tight ends in the league. This guy, he set the tone for the offense yesterday, and I really attribute to him the block punt. Okay, now I'm going to Dave Caldwell. Dave Caldwell, he did a disservice to his young quarterback, who he didn't intend to play. He should have put a better mentor in there instead of Chad Henne. Chad Henne had done nothing in this league for him to mentor anybody. What is Blake learning from him on the sideline? So, and also Gus Bradley, we call him the Joel Osteen of football, the most positive guy. You know, and I love the guy. I met him at Walmart and everything. I want the best for him, but I don't think that this chemistry is it. And I take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I don't know. First, there are several things here. I don't know, who do you want to mentor him? Is there some benefit to having that veteran in the meeting? I think Henny's played enough football. I mean, just because you're not very good, Jason Garrett wasn't a great quarterback in the NFL. Doesn't mean he can't be a good coach. He can't impart what you're supposed to do. Henny may be able to say, you know what, I'm not talented enough to do that, but I know what to do in this situation. He may not phrase it like that.
I think Chad would be a pretty good coach if he wants to be.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, just because you're not a great player doesn't mean you can't be a very good coach or, in this case, a mentor, a teacher.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing to find, a veteran backup. I mean, I think he's as good in that role. I don't see that being a huge problem for Blake right now.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not trying to discount the thought that you wouldn't mind having somebody better to play right now, but for that to be the criticism that there'd be a better guy in the room than Chad Henne, I think he's pretty good in the room as an influence for Blake.
Hey, Lauren Brooks, let me just ask you quickly. If I shoved you, would you, A, shove me back, and B, if I threw you the football right to your hands, would you catch it? Because apparently those are things that girls would not do, we're finding out today. That I guess Mercedes is a girl because he dropped the ball. He's not a very good catcher of the football. Yes.
No.
Does that make him a girl? I think most girls would have caught that football.
Thank
that
you.
Was thrown to Mercedes yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, most people. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
because Mike's about to shove you.
Because if you shove me, I'm shoving you back.
Well, I want to find out if I'm going to get shoved
back. We need to have some live streaming, because this is about to get good.
All right. Yeah, no. Why are the callers picking on girls? Girls can catch a football, throw a football. Now, I may be an exception, considering I dislocated my finger while catching one, but come on now. Callers better not. Yeah, callers better not call out the girls anymore. I'm going to kick them off.
I know what he's talking about, though. That block punt, I'll give it to Mercedes. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but you're going to pick up a big chunk of yardage down the field. Maybe you're not even punting.
Just
you know?
A killer. I mean, it really
just
was.
Just a killer, John. I mean, that's the exasperating thing. It's never changed. Honestly, Mercedes is a good guy. He's a good teammate. He's a good football player in certain aspects, but he will drop more catchable balls then you simply should, you know, in his position in the National Football League. It's just, and it's been going on really throughout his career, and we keep waiting. Is this the year he's going to put it all together in that department? Apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things that on a young team where you're getting something going early, you know, yes, there was a third down to follow that you would have liked to have seen him convert. But right now, this team's not going to convert every third down.
Right, you had already converted it. Just catch the ball.
Just catch the ball. You got a little more momentum. I mean, how many ways can you say it? You got to catch that pass.
And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by the Best Bets Company at Jacksonville, December 15, 2002. Indianapolis wide receiver Marvin Harrison, I'm sure with Johnny O in attendance, caught 9 passes for 172 yards, 2 touchdowns, and in doing so, broke Herman Moore's single-season receptions record of 123. Harrison finished the year with how many catches?
143, right?
143 is absolutely spot on. That's 143 beautiful point-per-reception points for us, Tony, back in the 2002 season. So that's what happened on this date in football history at the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you, whether that's at your home, your place of business. They'll give you a competitive price and unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Monday Night Football will wrap up Week 15 in the NFL with New Orleans heading to Soldier Field to take on Chicago tonight. With a win, the Saints move back into first place in the NFC South with a 6-8 record, a half game ahead of the 5-8-1 Carolina Panthers. A quick look at the playoff picture in both conferences right now. The only team in the NFC that has clinched a playoff spot is the Arizona Cardinals, who would also be the one seed in the conference with their 11-3 record right now. Detroit would be the 2 at 10-4, Dallas the 3 at 10-4, and the Carolina New Orleans winner of that battle royale in the South would be the 4 right now. Seattle and Green Bay, probably the 2 teams that everyone is on right now in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, would be the 2 wild cards at the moment at 10-4. Philadelphia, the team on the outside looking in, at 9-5. In the AFC, 3 teams clinched their division yesterday. New England and Denver will get the bye as the 1-2 seeds, with New England as the 1 because they won the head-to-head matchup earlier in the season with Denver. Both teams are 11-3 with 2 games to play. Indianapolis clinched the South yesterday with their win over Houston. The Colts are 10-4. They would be the 3 seed in the AFC. Cincinnati at 9-4-1 leads the AFC North by a half game over both Pittsburgh and Baltimore, who would be the 5th and 6th seeds at 9-5. But it is a muddy picture in the AFC. Kansas City, San Diego, Buffalo are all just 1 game behind the wild card at 8-6 with 2 weeks to play.
Here's what you got going for you. If you're a Jag fan, apparently Johnny Football sucks. Okay?
He was.
So you got that going
so
for you.
Bad.
Right?
Struggled.
Derek Carr, struggled all of a sudden, not everyone's favorite
rookie quarterback. He's the best.
He's amazing. You see him against San Francisco. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Not so fast, my friend. Although he did he got me a pure definition of garbage time touchdown yesterday in a 2-quarterback league.
For one of your 39 fantasy
teams. And it gave me a little bit of a cushion right there in that one. And I will cruise to victory in that semifinal matchup. Just thought you'd like to know that, John.
Is it the playoffs? Is it playoffs time?
Oh, it's absolutely playoff time. This upcoming Sunday, which we have off, mind you.
You'll be.
Is Championship Sunday.
You'll be a pig and slop.
I will absolutely. I'll be rolling around in it. Are you kidding me? I've been a pig and slop all season long. I have some goodies. It's the holiday season. Oh, yeah. We like to give things out from time to time. Even on.
I read that about you.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
In what publication?
Oh, Twitter.
Was
I love
Twitter?
Twitter these days.
Twitter just said we love to give things out.
I'm popular on Twitter these days.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. They love the ozone.
I'm popular as far as I know, because anybody who really gets on my case, I just end up blocking them anyway.
And
I don't do that if you argue with me. I don't mind you arguing with me. My block list is probably 10 deep. That's about it. That's not bad. And Duval Doom got blocked and got pulled back from the dead. He's the only one who's made it back from the block.
Duval Doom's good.
I like Doom. He is good people, but even he.
He's all over the place, but he's good people.
I can run out of patience on that score from time to time. That was one time, Doom. We've hugged it out since.
All right, good.
It's good. I've got this. Levy Jewelers, located on the Circle and under the clock at the St. John's Town Center, Jacksonville's exclusive provider of Breitling watches. on where you'll find the best selection of jewelry and timepieces this holiday season. I have a $25 gift card to Levy Jewelers right now for the third caller at 641-1010. How about that? How about them apples? Okay.
Go big.
I watched Good Will Hunting this weekend, or at least part of it. This weekend.
You can't not watch part of it if it's on.
If it's on, it sucks
you can't
in,
just
right?
scroll by Good Will
hey,
Hunting.
Hey, let's do some mathematic equations on the chalkboard.
You gotta watch that, and if Roadhouse is on, you gotta stop.
Oh, Roadhouse is fantastic. that was,
Roadhouse.
What is it, oh, what's the band? The house band. Roadhouse. Yeah. The Angel Eyes. They do the song. What's the house band? What's the name of them?
I'm drawing a blank.
Me too. I don't know why I can't think of it. That, pretty much any Patrick Swayze movie. With the exception of Ghost.
You might make fun of it, but you always stop and watch.
Oh, I don't make fun of Red Dawn. You kidding me? Roadhouse, Red Dawn?
Avenge me!
Those are staples. Boys! Fantastic. Love it. All right, so 641-1010, caller 3. Lauren will hook you up with that $25 gift card to Levy Jewelers. We'll be giving them away all week on Jaguars Today. Now, let's go to Greg, who I believe is next up on the phone lines. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing good morning.
Good. What's going on?
Okay. Really, I want to talk about our draft pick, and I like the reason you ducked Terry Bridgewater. I mean, when you call out the other two games, but you ducked Terry Bridgewater right there because we knew he was the best quarterback coming out the draft, and we went for something else called Mel Kiper, fooling us into that. And I like to say this, you know, we need to stay away from what Mel Kiper said. Because what Mel Kiper said, we've been wrong all the time.
All right. Well, I doubt Dave Caldwell is just going down Mel's, you know, power rankings of players or his top 25 and drafted from that. So, I mean, Mel makes his share of mistakes. I make my share of mistakes. I'm not trying to say I'm a draft pundit. You know, we all do. The draft is that's kind of the nature of the draft, you know. We don't know what Teddy Bridgewater, if he's going to turn out to be the best guy. We're just discussing him on the break, as a matter of fact. He's winning games. Mm-hmm. Is he playing perfect football? No. Threw a pick six in the fourth quarter yesterday, but. He's winning more games than not. Didn't win yesterday, but he's won games. He's, you know, got a kind of a motley cast of characters around them. I mean, Greg Jennings has had more success than any receiver that the Jags have on their roster, but he's not, you know, at this stage of his career where he's a game breaker anymore. They've been without Adrian Peterson, without Kyle Rudolph for most of the season. No, so
they're quietly one of the best stories in the league.
Yeah. He's done a nice job. For the long term, they believe, I don't think Dave Caldwell, based things on one pro day performance from Teddy Bridgewater. No. Teddy Bridgewater had a bad pro day.
Oh, was that the rationale?
I think that was the gist of it, that we knew he was the best guy and we let ourselves get fooled into thinking he wasn't because of one bad pro day. No. I think that's what
that wasn't the rationale, but they liked Blake from from the word go. It was not a pro day decision,
right? And as Dave Caldwell said, and look, his future, he's the one who'll have to answer for it or revel in it, right? If Blake turns out to be the guy, and look, I mean, you can go over countless examples of quarterbacks who struggled mightily their rookie years and turned out to be really good. Also, countless ones who struggled mightily and turned out to not be really good.
Yep.
That'll be on Dave Caldwell. That's everybody knows that. You draft a quarterback that high, your tenure will in large part be
tied to him.
It's difficult to survive that to the next quarterback cycle.
Yeah.
Difficult. No. Not impossible, but difficult to do, right?
Yes.
So.
And that really picks up steam next year.
No question.
That's, yeah. Right.
Obvious because people ask, well, when, you know, we need to get rid of this. That's fine. You can hold that opinion. I'm not telling you to think any particular way. I'm just saying you're going to cause yourself a lot of angst and frustration if you think we're going to sit here and say that the organization is going to cut loose Dave Caldwell and or Gus Bradley this offseason in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no.
Or that they're going to bail on Blake and draft another quarterback. Now, could they draft one late in the draft if they see a value? I'm not saying that. I'm saying in the first few rounds where you bring that guy in and basically you're putting the clock on Blake now, like, hey, you've got half a season to show. That's not happening.
No.
I don't think they're bailing. You and I, at least, don't believe that they're bailing on four-fifths of this offensive line. Will they bring in some competition to push some guys? Perhaps. But I don't think they're necessarily going to draft a replacement for any of the guys left tackle through right guard.
I would be very, very surprised if that happened.
Right now, if some opportunity presents themselves, like they had with Alex Mack last year,
mm-hmm.
and they could get that significant of an upgrade, would they consider it? Possibly.
Right.
Right?
But, I mean, I get emails about who are the linemen in free agency, they need to draft offensive line the first three rounds of the draft. I don't see that.
I don't think they see that.
People who are expecting that are going to have a very frustrating offseason.
Yes, they are. And that's the only point I'm making. You can feel that
way. And they could
be
right.
You could be right.
But that's not the direction.
Right. So, I mean, to me, I'm trying to not get too caught up into, you know, because I get it. Like, Gus Bradley's in over his head. Can't do it. His personality is wrong personality for this team. You could make the argument. I heard Hacker and T-Week talking about this yesterday, that the fact that there is no finger pointing. And it is a team that struggled, and clearly the defense is playing pretty well. Pretty well. Not mm-hmm. world beaters, but pretty well. The offense is struggling mightily, but with the pieces they have, don't know how much more of a quantum leap they could take right now. The fact that you're not seeing the finger pointing, you're not hearing the grumbling, the carping, you're not hearing the unnamed sources, you know, saying, man, that off, you know, this team, they need to hold up their end of the bargain.
Right.
You don't get that. There's no fracture in the locker room. I think it's a credit to Gus Bradley's personality and coaching style.
Yes.
Right.
And I do understand, because we've been fans. We've been fans of teams. And so you understand the instinct of wanting the head coach to come in and throw the podium down and, you know, punch Gene Frenette and all those things, which we all want to do.
Yes.
But those things, what good does it do? Is that really going to help matters on the field, or is it going to have the fans on Monday be like, yeah, good for him, he punched Gene?
In the short term.
I don't think he'll punch Gene.
I don't think he will either, but Gene, I'd have my head on a swivel when you show up today at 1:30.
Oh, Gene will take you down now.
Will he?
He'll scrap.
Has he got a lot of fighting that dog there? All right. 6-4-1-10-10. Jason, Glenn, Jim, hang on the line. We'll get to you coming up in this very next segment. Here it's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tomorrow, got a pair of tickets to the Thursday night encounter between the Jags and the Titans here. Final home game of the season, and I'll give them away courtesy of the Foundation Professionals of Florida. Your home's foundation's letting you down. Foundation Professionals of Florida will not. They know the symptoms. Exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors, all could be symptomatic of larger problems. Give them a call, Foundation Professionals of Florida, 287-2690, or visit them online at foundationprosfl.com. We'll have a pair of tickets tomorrow on the line to Jags Titans, so tune in and find out how you may score a free pair of ducats. Hey, it's still a party. It's still, and I honestly, Fitzpatrick broke his leg, by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They just re-signed Case Keenum in Houston. Tom Savage hurt his knee. He was in there, you know, getting his first NFL experience yesterday. I think it was the first time he's appeared in a regular season game. So now, you know, you've got Tennessee, who got beat by the Jets, for goodness sakes, at home,
mm-hmm.
Playing terrible football right now. Houston just lost their quarterback and then basically all but eliminated from playoff consideration. Not mathematically, but by week 17, they may well be. Jags could end the season on a two-game winning streak. I don't think it would surprise, certainly wouldn't surprise me. I don't know who else it would surprise, but it won't surprise me a bit. In fact, I'd be more surprised if they didn't win on Thursday night.
Yes, I would. Yeah, I would be too.
So there you have it.
And by the way, with that in mind,
thanks for that insight, John.
When we were taking a look at the last four games of the season, we kind of wrote Baltimore going up there as a loss. This is a team that was a 13-point underdog that we spent 5 days on the air last week saying, "Hey, let's hope that they have a chance, that they're competitive in the fourth quarter against this Baltimore team." You got that. Now, the game situation changes your expectation for what you want to see from your football team. But for a team that I think a lot of people in this city thought was going to go up to Baltimore and get beat by 25 or 30 points, they hung in there.
Right, but and I grant you that is accurate, that before the season you'd write that down as an L and you'd want to be in the game. But it's the fact that they've had the same pattern now for multiple weeks.
It
right?
doesn't excuse anything.
Maybe
that happened
that's what
in the
they
game.
Are.
True, but at what point do you say, where is the improvement going to come from? Because these are not, you know, guys at the end of the rope shouldn't be riding off the season. These are young guys. And I get it that sometimes you hit the rookie wall and all that stuff. But this is a young core that should with experience be getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And the results are not getting better.
No, not.
This was a carbon copy of last week.
Yep.
It really was. I mean, 13-10, 12-10, you get shut out in the second half. Defense played better in this game, I think, than even last week. But regardless, offensively a carbon copy. And that's, boy, five scoring opportunities in the first half. Wow, they got a little something going. Yes, they need to punch them in, but keep giving yourself opportunities, mm-hmm. and maybe something good will happen. And then those opportunities just dried up in the second half.
Yeah, second half was
create them.
Was not good. And I've been saying the last couple of weeks, I think realistically with the offense, you're probably not going to get a eye-catching improvement before they have a chance to get to the offseason, get better, improve, and all that. I just don't think it's going to happen.
All right, let's get some calls in. Jason, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I've just sat back and thought a lot to myself, going all the way back to when Sean Conn had the opportunity to go out and bring in his pair of people, the general manager and the coach. And I look at the Arizona Cardinals with Steve King and Bruce Arians, and I just see just so much a better of a combo of that they've built the team. They've rebuilt the offensive line. Bruce Arians is a fiery coach. They're winning with anybody that they put back there, you know, and I just don't see the improvement that gives me a lot of confidence for 2015 with Bradley and really Caldwell whiffing on all these draft picks. I mean, it's been tough to watch as a Jags fan and a season ticket holder when there's examples, lots of examples of people coming in and making a difference in 1 year, let alone in 2 years, and then have hope going into three. I'd just like to, you know, take your guys' comments on it.
I think that there's a fair question that's asked when you've got this much, when you've got this young of a team,
mm-hmm.
is it best to pair them up with a coach who's got no head coaching experience in the National Football League? Or would you be better going with a more veteran guy? Bruce Arians obviously had interim head coaching experience. Mm-hmm. Was he a head coach anywhere else before
that? He had
that?
Been, I don't believe so, but he had been the interim coach
at
obviously with Indianapolis
right.
the year before, so.
This is first year in Arizona or second year?
Second.
Second year, okay. Because they did win. Yeah, they won 10 games last year. They'd been building a base of talent for a while.
Yes.
Okay? And you can't argue that they're winning these same games that the Jags are mm-hmm. not winning. Their defense is playing maybe a smidge better, holding teams down a little bit more. I mean, this week, score
12-6 over the Rams.
12-6. The week before it was 17-14. They beat Kansas City, but they're beating good teams. They're playing great defense, and somehow they're falling into just enough offense. As Bruce Arians said after the games, that we're just going to keep trying to scrape it together and try to just get enough points because their defense is giving it to us every week. So they're getting more out of their guys. There's no question about that. But at one point in the season, they had Carson Palmer. Okay. Then they had Drew Stanton, who at least has some NFL experience. Now, granted, he got hurt, but they also have Larry Fitzgerald,
who's probably not what he was 3 or 4 years ago, but still a reliable veteran presence.
Would be the best guy on this team right
yes.
now. I mean, right now, I mean, you know, maybe not 3 years from now, but right now would be. Look, Bruce Arians is doing a hell of a job. I'm not, you know, maybe.
For the short term, there's no question that the offense is too young right now to succeed. We've seen that. 2 touchdowns in 4 games. You can't argue that this is a good offense. Is this experience they're gaining, is this what they're going through now worth it? We won't know that until next year.
All right, let's go to Glenn.
Which stinks as an answer.
No, it does.
It's terrible, you know, but I don't know how else to answer it and be honest.
Right. This caller could be correct. Okay. Look, I'm sure, and I'm not saying they're going to turn into this because I understand the circumstances are completely different, but you don't think, what was sports radio if there was any in Dallas like Jimmy Johnson's first year?
Wasn't pretty.
Right? I mean,
this
guy's in over his head. He's a college coach. He can't get it done in the National Football
League. And
in
some ways he was. He got better.
He did.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying that means Gus Bradley necessarily turns out to be him. Maybe he goes the other way.
Yeah.
And he continues to show that, he's not going to get it done. We don't know. But like you said, we're not going to know the full story until the future, and he's going to get the chance to write at least the third chapter to this book. So, Glenn, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys.
First, let me commend you for putting up with all the callers. I don't know how you deal with it.
Well, look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I try not to get mad. I've mellowed a little in my old age.
Yeah.
A little.
Not much and don't, but that's another story. Like I said, when I called, you know, the area that I'm a season ticket holder from day one, and I have watched a lot of football in that stadium. And as far as the players and the other conversations that people have had, next year I'll tell a lot about a lot of these draft picks. But as I said, when I called coaching, you know, my concern now is becoming coaching. And let me be clear here. I'm not talking about he didn't call the right plays or Gus is too nice or, you know, I am really curious to see whether our coaching improves in these specific areas. Our special teams have been real shoddy. I don't know if it's offensive line, how much the coach can affect them, but I don't see improvement, and I think coaching may be the problem there, part of the problem. And, you know, as far as Gus Bradley and the overall progress of a head coach, you know, we all know Gus is a great, nice guy. Well, maybe he has to make a change, and does he have that dynamic in his personality, and will he grow? Because a lot of head coaches have to let people go if they're not getting the job done. And when I look at the overall mechanics of how the game goes, what do we consistently do, guys? We're calling timeouts, coming out of timeouts. We're calling timeouts because we don't get plays off. And that has not gotten better. It's been the same. And I attribute that to coaching, don't you?
Somewhat. That point, I was with you probably up until that last point because I think a lot of that's on a rookie quarterback who, you know, there's so much going on. At times, I think you can lose track of the play clock. It's frustrating. Don't get me wrong. We're watching the game yesterday. Like, come on already. But
they had to call a timeout after the fake punt. I mean, they convert that fake punt, and then it's, oh, we need a timeout. We didn't get the play in time. And I think, talking about the young quarterback, I can remember at least one example in that game yesterday where Blake tried to change the play too late. He tried to audible at the line of scrimmage, and he just didn't have time to do it, didn't realize it, and he looked up, saw he had 2 seconds left on the play clock and had to call timeout. I mean, that's on him a little bit.
Yes. And, again, rookies at every spot. There was a point yesterday where you had Luke Boenko with Blake Bortles right behind him, with Storm Johnson right behind him. That's three rookies in your core. That's, you know, when the Ravens scored the other day, it was Joe Flacco, a veteran, throwing to Owen Daniels, a veteran. I mean, Owen Daniels.
Yeah.
So, again, I know people get tired of talking about the rookie thing, but it's still real.
That's not to say that I know specifically that the coaching staff bears no blame in these circumstances. I do think that there's a large element of having a young quarterback who there's a lot of stuff swirling around. Now, as to does Gus have the personality and the inclination to, I'll call it being the bad guy, right? And because he was asked about Jed Fish in a press conference a few weeks ago and seemed to kind of bristle at the suggestion that, that Jed Fish, I think, I forget the exact phrasing, but it was something along the gist of, you know, is Jed Fish, I don't want to make more than is of it, but coaching for his job, or would you consider a change? Is it the offense coordinator's fault? He had an opportunity to place blame on Jed Fish, and I think he kind of took umbrage at that and said, you know, that's not, it's not what's happening here. He thinks Jed Fish is doing a good job.
Well, I would be shocked and sort of disappointed if he had taken any other approach at that point.
Right. But that's what I'm telling you.
No matter what he's thinking, you can't come out in week 10.
Understood.
All of a sudden you're throwing the guy under the bus. You can't do that.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, we've had this conversation about does it behoove a young player to switch offenses? Clearly it's difficult if you're going to switch offenses, right? But at the same time, if what you're doing is not working, does it behoove you to stay in something that's not working? In your mind, is Gus Bradley going to make any major change to his coaching staff this
offseason?
Season? It's tough to say, right?
I mean, he owes it to himself and the team to assess it, and I just don't know the answer to that question.
My guess is no, not at the coordinator. That's my guess.
Right.
And it's all it is a guess, because he's going to say, look, here's what we've got. We committed to this process of building this thing the right way. Well, now, whether it ends up being the right way is a conversation mm-hmm. as well, but in their vision of the right way is committing to this youth and going through your growing pains and taking your lumps, and part of that, you know, what do you expect?
It was said by a couple of people early, I forget who it was, but in press conference situations, when we made this decision, this is what we were going to deal with, and that decision was to go this young. And I think there's been sort of a realization as it's gone along of, boy, this is a lot to have this young, this much, you know, and it's been, whew.
Right, and that honestly may have been a miscalculation, you know?
I don't think we'll know that until we see the results. They're getting this experience. What happens early next season? I don't think we'll know the results of that experiment until next year. Very unsatisfying answer.
Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, we are full of unsatisfying answers for you here. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. We'll come back with the fan feedback spotlight asking you to put yourself in Jed Fisher's shoes. What would you do differently? Maybe you do have the answer. Maybe everybody, what you're saying is right, but what would you do to get this offense going over the last couple weeks that maybe hasn't been tried up until this point in time? We'll go through some of those responses. Take more of your calls as well at 641-1010. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony. Fat Tony's got a collaboration with Paul Spicer. They call it Time Out.
Yeah, that's coming up tonight
Monday
from
night.
8 to 10.
8 to 10 Eastern?
Yes.
Excellent.
Following Jaguars Monday tonight here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And
are you going to make excuses for the O-line on that show, too? Just kidding.
We'll probably talk a little bit of offensive line at some point.
You're going to put all the blame on Blake, aren't you?
Continue to point the finger at all the different areas that are having problems.
I listen to a little Time Out every now and then.
Why wouldn't you? Are you kidding me? Just a little?
You like how I drop that in, that I'm here at 8 sometimes for the boss? Mark Lampy. Is Mark listening?
When I get the car at 9:45, I catch.
Yeah, when I get
in
the car
minutes,
at 9:50,
yeah.
I get Spice.
I got mad
Tommy.
Last week. It was the first time Spicer had seen me just get aggravated with a story last week, and I started getting a little.
What was the story?
Heated. That Ohio State was in the four.
Oh.
I was furious that Ohio State got in instead of one of those Big 12 teams that I thought was much more deserving. And Paul didn't know what to do with me. He was just like, how do I handle this red-faced screaming man? And I was not going to be calmed down.
Did you know Dan Edwards was an Oregon grad?
I did not.
Yes.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I said, what are you doing in Baltimore? He goes, well, you know, we're outside the city. I'm like, yeah, I heard. Well, he goes, I watch Oregon play basketball, and I watch Mariota win the Heisman, and it's a pretty good day for the Ducks. And I'm like, why does he care so much about that? Did you go to Oregon? Why, yes, I did.
Good for
there
that
you have
guy.
It.
That would be fun.
It's a good time to be a Duck fan.
It is.
I would think. The Bucks and the Ducks may be going together. Tampa Bay right now holds the number one pick in the draft, courtesy of their loss yesterday. So there you have it. They had a headline in the New York paper.
I saw that. It's pretty
suck
good
for the Duck.
Yeah, pretty fun.
It's pretty funny. Ah, the Jets, man. They just can't. They can't figure it out. Yeah. They can't figure out when to lose. You know, they just can't. It's right there. It's all there for you.
They're gonna get Jameis. They're gonna put him up there under all those.
I thought they'd get Mariota. If they're taking the number one pick in the draft, he didn't want anything to do with that. Mariota, he's like, please no. Not that dysfunction. Tony, today the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you, if you were Jed Fish, what would you do with this offense? What do we get?
As soon as my favorites page pulls up, I'll let you know.
All right.
Oh, excellent.
It's taking us time. Here we go. For my Irish Jaguar, I have no idea. Thankfully, it's not my job to know. From Will, we got retire. From Cam, the line needs major repair. Players need to make catches, and Burles needs to throw the ball away more. From Eric, more rollouts to protect Blake from getting crushed behind the line. Don't know much else he can do. From Bortles, been popped. We got get in my Tom Bush car and drive back to Miami.
How do I get a plug for the sponsor
in
there?
Yeah, hashtag thanks, Jed. Hashtag see ya. From Jason, punt and pray. From Kevin, we got run up tempo and some read option, make defenses do a little bit more. From brother Jason, nothing. He's doing a good job and just needs more weapons and developed talent.
Hodari said that Dirk Cutter was awful here in Jacksonville. Goes to Atlanta, huh? All of a sudden, he's not so awful.
Hey,
so, hey, players
they
and
give
experience,
him a decent offensive line and quarterback and wide receivers. And
that can make, so you're telling me You mean to tell me that Julio Jones would improve this offense?
No.
Come on now. Seriously? Julio Jones, of course, didn't play yesterday. You get the picture. Roddy White, Julio, Harry Douglas. Harry Douglas is a baller.
Whenever he gets the chance.
Whenever Julio Roddy's out, Harry Douglas acts like he belongs in the Pro Bowl. This goes all about his business.
Still sounds like a drink I don't want. You know, a Harry Douglas.
What was that?
All right. It still sounds like a drink I don't want.
It's like
want
you had a few
Harry
of those
Douglas.
This morning.
I know.
Holy smokes.
I'll have a Harry Douglas. No, thank you.
Yes. Harry colon, please, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We'll get a couple calls in here. In a moment, don't forget the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. They bring you the fan feedback spotlight, and you can head over to Tom Bush Volkswagen on Atlantic to see for yourself the 2015 Motor Trend Car of the Year, the Volkswagen Golf, and take advantage of the sign and drive event there. Zero due at signing, zero down, zero first month's payment, zero deposit, and BMW's holiday credit as well of up to $3,500 or drive away in a 2015 BMW X1 S-Drive or 2015 BMW 3201 for only $279 a month on a 39-month lease. Those and other great deals at Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush Mini. You can find them all at TomBush.com. All right, where are we going, Lauren? Tell me in my ear if you would. Jim is next up on 1010XL. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'll make this quick. I'm somewhere in no man's land between Sarasota and Fort Myers, so I may lose you. But real quick, a couple things. One, I was in Dallas a lot of time during the early Aikman years, and I can honestly tell you there are probably 10 people in Dallas that thought Troy Aikman was going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So you kind of just deal with that. But and also, the one thing Teddy Bridgewater has going for him that nobody else does, I have to say, is Norv Turner. I wish we could have gotten him here, but that's a whole other story. And then lastly, my one question to John is, I'm curious, a lot of it has been said about the offensive line is the fact that Coach Yarno's not around. And I understand that, and Luke may be in over his head, I don't know. But my question is do you expect the Jags, compassion aside, to replace Luke Butkus with a more experienced offensive line coach? I'll take your comments off there. Thanks, guys.
You know, I honestly don't know, but it wouldn't surprise you to see something done there.
Yeah,
but
they had a more experienced guy ahead of him anyway, and George Yarno, hopefully, his fight is going to be a success.
Right. I don't know much along those lines because I don't know his status. But, it would not be surprised to see something done there.
All right, let's go to Renee up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Renee.
Morning.
What's on your mind?
I like to, first of all, say I like Jed Fish. I think he's doing a good job. He's had some creative plays here and there sprinkled out throughout the season that, kind of get us excited. But I feel like it's the veterans on the offense that are really letting the team down. Like, Cecil and Mercedes Lewis, just a couple of plays, if they just do their job, make those catches, it could be the continuation of a drive, that leads to points. And one final question is, about the upcoming draft. What do you see about maybe possibly drafting a good tight end?
Well, we all think they need to upgrade in terms of a pass-catching tight end, whether that comes in free agency or the draft. Absolutely. That's I don't know how high on the list of priorities, but it's among the wish list, certainly.
Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty high priority. And again, I don't know. Some of that depends on what's there in free agency, which you don't really know until free agency begins, because a lot of these guys people are talking about go off the market. You don't want to make the mistake of, okay, everybody's gone out of free agency. Let's go get the top guy no matter how good he really is. You want to make sure if you're going after a free agent that he's a free agent who can truly help you.
Right.
And so you've got to be smart there. You can't just say, oh, we got a tight end. So, but in some capacity, that's got to be addressed.
We talked about Julius Thomas a lot because he is an impending free agent in Denver. I think a lot of what it may boil down to is if Peyton Manning decides to retire or not. There's a story this weekend that said he may have an interest in becoming a large shareholder in a purchase of the Tennessee Titans and then taking on a John Elway-type role with the organization. If that's the case, I think Denver is less inclined to bring Julius Thomas back.
Right.
I think they're going to want to bring Demaryius Thomas back regardless because you don't find receivers with his physical gifts growing on trees. And if Peyton does come back, I would think they would look to sign Demaryius Thomas to a long-term deal. They'll do that anyway if they can. And then franchise Julius Thomas, if nothing else, at least to keep him there during Manning's championship window.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it doesn't play out that way.
Right. So, but if Manning were to retire...
The impact guys usually wind up not out there.
Exactly. All right, let's finish up with Bill here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, I think what you said, what should the Jags do? I think we've already proven the offensive line has a real difficult time pass blocking. So why not take a page out of Houston's book, run the ball 40 times, figure out if any of these guys are really good at run blocking, take those three backs, show them off, and figure out going into next year what you may have and what you need. I'll take you off the air.
Well, the number one reason is because I think the development of your own quarterback is the most important thing this team could work on over the last couple games of the season, and you're not going to get that development by just turning around and handing a football off.
Right.
I don't think the key is, I mean, would you like to figure out what you have in these backs? Sure. You could do that in the context, I would hope, in the normal flow of a normal game. But why?
Yeah, I think they're getting a feel for what the backs are. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt what Toby is. They showed yesterday... effective behind some good, you know, some decent blocking earlier. It was okay. And, you know, they're going to play Storm in the last couple of games, but I don't think you need to play him 45 carries a game to find that out.
Right. I mean, the Jets a couple weeks ago against Miami threw the ball 7 times.
Which was sort of silly.
And ran it nearly 50 times for almost 300 yards. Okay, big deal. What does that do for your quarterback?
Right.
Nothing whatsoever. And that is the most crucial thing. For this team over the next couple of weeks, see what they can continue to develop with Blake Bortles and the rest of those young offensive players. All right, that'll do it for us today. Johnny O, have a good week.
Good Wild West Golden Gun Monday.
You're never going to beat it.
Guns and gold, I'm sorry.
I know. I think it's okay either way. They do have guns and they do have gold. They go both ways. What are we going to see from you this week on Jaguars.com?
Well, short week, so everything's kind of condensed. And, this afternoon we'll be talking to Gus, and it'll be an interesting press conference when he talks, because he'll be asked a lot about Blake Bortles, I'm sure, and about some of the stuff about the offensive line. So good day to cover it, and it'll be interesting.